Hey, welcome to AU Game Cabinet. This is your all needs podcast for things board games and card games out there in your beautiful, wonderful world of gaming. This week we're going to be talking about what we're going to be doing here, which is exactly what I kind of said. We're going to be doing game reviews everywhere from the weird little corner games to your ever so popular Catan. With me this week, I've got Tiffany.
Hello.
And our usual Hannah.
Oh, hello, guys. Well, your name is Drew, so hi, Drew.
Well, I said my name. I introduced myself.
I didn't hear it.
Maybe I did that in my head again then.
Oh, and look, we're 1 minute in and we're done. No.
So what about Wonderful. Dice games? You said card and board. We have tons of dice.
Cardboard. Yeah, a lot of your dice games are going to end up in your board game kind of category. Like, there are a few that kind of stand out by themselves, such as Liar's Dice and, like, Roll for It. But a lot of other dice games are going to be played with a board. Yeah, a board or tiles or something.
Will you be
of the
revealing,
sort.
Revealing paper games? Like
RPGs? RPGs?
Like, yeah, do you do D&D?
We
Pathfinder?
Might do some RPGs a little later down the road. Those guys do take a little more effort to learn, because you gotta dedicate less of, oh, I can sit down and play this a couple times this week, and that's more of one of those, oh, okay, I'm going to need to play this a couple weeks and then be able to actually form a real opinion about. So we're going to stay primarily board games, card games, dice games,
sounds good,
TCGs and stuff like that.
What about party games?
Of course, party games. We're going to be doing things like Meeple Party. That one's become pretty popular lately. We'll definitely be going over a store favorite, Coup. And there, you know, we've got lots of little guys like that we like to play at our employee game nights. And so that's what I'm kind of excited for on those ones, to be able to play with kind of everybody.
Oh, man, I miss employee game nights.
I'm an employee. I have yet to be to a game night.
Well, you got hired on during the darkest timeline.
I know.
Yeah, which, sorry about that.
Wait, I wonder, in the good timeline then, did I ever get hired?
Oh, of course, man. You did.
Of course. We need somebody in your position.
Do you have any recommendations for us right now off the cuff?
Off the cuff, I've been playing a lot of God Tier lately. It's a MOBA mini battle game, I guess, or mini war game.
I didn't know you could do a MOBA in real life.
It's MOBA-esque, air
okay.
quotes.
I play
that.
A lot of League of Legends, so that's why I'm like, what?
How oh, yeah, that? I forget that you do that. That's mm-hmm. This is actually one of those games that you might be really interested in, and I own it, so we can play.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's instead of most war mini games, like our good friends over at GW with Warhammer and stuff like that, instead of buying factions, you buy champions. And there's four different colors, of which then you can paint and make sure that you've still got your base color and all that kind
of
stuff.
Oh, cool.
But
so you can actually paint your minis to look like your factions.
Their minis are so
some
cool.
Of the sickest minis. I recently found out why their minis are so awesome. Yeah. I was talking to one of our reps. I think it was my friend Scott over at ACD. He was talking about doing one of the last gammas in Vegas. And he happened to sit down with the mini sculptor and creator for Steamforged Games, and he was talking about the fact that the guy who was at the time their main guy used to work for GW as a sculptor. And so they've got dozens of sculptors over at Games Workshop, and he happened to get an offer that he just couldn't refuse, moved on over to Steamforged Games, and he started working with them around their Dark Souls board game.
Okay.
And
oh,
that's
and
the,
Dark Souls has some dope minis.
And that's why those minis were really cool, and they've kept to that. They made that their quality line, essentially, was the Dark Souls minis. Then they don't accept any minis that are, like, quality below that at all.
That's cool.
Is their minimum now for, like, quality. Even on some of the bigger guys, you've still got really cool in-depth detail, and then some of the littler guys have so much. I'm an okay painter, and I'm pretty daunted by trying to get at them, but I'm really excited to when I do.
I've looked at some of their minis, and yes, they are daunting.
You are, yeah, I was gonna say, you're quadruple the painter that I am, and if they're intimidating to you, that...
I like to finger paint.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Come paint minis with us.
You should come paint minis with us.
The next time
we'll
get a Reaper paint and take day, that as soon as, the dark times are over and we can...
Oh, yeah, as the events coordinator, I will definitely do that.
Yeah, come do a paint and take day with us. Those are really fun.
I think we were poking at the idea of doing a virtual paint and take for ReaperCon when it...
We are, actually.
We are thinking about that.
That is pretty much the plan that I've been told, and yeah. I'm the one that advertises things. So.
Yeah, so that would be a good time for you to come on down and
hang
out.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll probably end up doing the first hour or so of just teaching people the basics of painting over online. And then
here is how you put down a base coat. You dunk the entire mini into a bottle of white paint. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Please don't do that.
I'm gonna do that.
Don't do that.
See, and that's also where it comes into a cool thing too with minis is like how people treat them, because like you tend to do a lot more paint on primer, or paint on primer, whereas I tend to do more spray on primer because I started painting minis for Warhammer primarily, and so I brought paint for spraying my units and stuff, and so I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna try these few fantasy models real quick just so I have an idea on what I'm doing.
It also helps that you have a place in which you can do spray primers.
That's true.
I live in a tiny apartment complex.
You can go outside and do it.
My neighbors get really cranky.
You can come over to George and I's house. spray minis.
So we're going to be talking about
game things.
Why games are cool, why they're not cool, the good, the bad, the ugly, basically.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to go into the good, the bad, the ugly. Nice. I have a very firm philosophy that as much as I love something, and I don't hold anybody else to this standard, but as much as I love something, I have to hate it equally, half as much at least. Because nothing is perfect. Everything has flaws. I was just talking to Travis downstairs, actually, about this. The Dark Souls board game is one of my personal favorites. It does a really good job of encapsulating the feeling of playing, the video game, and the sense of dread of just fighting some of the more basic units and having to think much
more. So I'm going to get really angry and want to throw my minis. Is that what I'm hearing?
Maybe. Don't play that game if you don't like to lose.
I don't mind losing, but after like the eighth or ninth time where you've died to the same guy, you're just like, rah.
No, see, and that's the cool thing is that it gives enough for if you do happen to lose, you are like, okay, we're going to try this scenario again, essentially. You give your equipment deck a nice shuffle, and that adds in enough RNG.
Oh, to try to reset.
To give you a chance to maybe get past those people. And that's where some of the hangups are, though, is their RNG. Some of how their upgrading system work isn't perfectly hammered out as far as I could find. There might be an FAQ when we get around to doing that episode. I'll be checking into that a little bit heavier and making sure that there isn't. But you roll dice to hit things, and sometimes you come out at a neutral number, and they're supposed to be status effects, and they have no rule for, hey, if you come out at a neutral number, the status effects do apply if you don't, or anything like that. And that's where we kind of had to house rule some stuff. And that's another thing we'll talk about is house ruling in games and things that you might like, hey, this is a great game, but with this minor house rule that we've noticed, it makes it a lot better. And lots of people are, will try to use ones that are pretty common.
No, that's good, because some people don't even know about house rules or how to do that. Like, anybody who could be, that could be really interesting to have an app.
Yeah, and that's something I'll try to bring up is like, hey, I use these house rules personally for this game because these systems don't particularly work in my opinion. I'm not perfect, but if somebody's like, hey, I can see where this wording sounds really funky, but this is what it is, cool. Then you understand what they're going for, but how they worded it, I don't understand. And that's a big part of being a game developer that I've found. Looking into developing games and stuff like that, you really have to work on like how you word things to the masses. You can't just be like, you do this thing. Okay, well, why? You've got to have those questions answered, and you've got to ask a lot of questions of your own game.
Well, and I feel like a lot of games, like even going through playtests and stuff, there's always going to be that one situation. There's going to be that one thing that happens that never happened during playtesting, and you're not going to have a rule to, like the neutral numbers.
Yeah, like that's a thing. I'm more than sure that there's probably an FAQ for that out there at this point, and they've probably come up with a ruling on it, but that was a thing that we ruled in favor of how we know the game functioned. We know, okay, this is based off of a video game. How do these two upgrades, how would that function in the game if I was using something like that? All right, well, at a neutral number, it still applies to status effects in the game. So that's what we're going to have to go with for now. And then hopefully somebody asks the question, or we ask the question and somebody answers us at some point.
I'm looking forward to hearing a lot more about games than I've ever heard about before.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah,
I am. I don't play a lot of board games. I'm not a huge board game person, purely just...
She'll be a board game voyeur. She'll be listening in, watching, but maybe not playing.
But you guys said you were excited to hear about games, which is really cool to me because I ramble about board games 90% of my conversations, and all of my friends, including my big board gaming nerd friends, starting to roll their eyes at me. I don't think that people understood when I tell them, hey, I'm a gamer, that I mean I game. That's all I really do. Even my girlfriend's cool with it at this point. Like, she's just like, yep, nope, he has to set about 2 to 4 hours aside of his time to go play a game of some sort. That's how I defrag.
That's it?
She keeps me on a tight schedule.
Oh, yes. Yes, I forgot. She has a schedule.
Yeah, she has a very tight schedule, and that puts me on a bit more of a tighter schedule.
Because I'm a gamer, and I don't stop gaming.
I've had to learn that. That's a big thing. I play a lot of video games as well. But, like, she's real cool. If I'm sitting down playing a board game, leave him till he's done.
Well, that's
like,
cool.
Very much like, no, I don't care if that takes 1 hour. I don't care if that takes 12 hours. You're playing a board game with people who are either here, or I'm playing on Discord with somebody, and it's like, okay, you're doing a thing, so I get that you're involved with other people. Playing video games, yeah, I normally get about 2 to 4 hours, and I'm like, all right, I gotta go make dinner, hang out, you know.
So if somebody comes in and says, I don't like playing board games, I've never liked a board game, there's no way you could recommend one for me, what do you usually recommend at that point?
Well, that depends, kind of. My first thing at that point is to say, well, let's find something then. Okay. But I ask a lot of questions at that point. Like, I really start digging into what are your likes, what are your dislikes. You know, if you like fantasy, okay, cool. I know that I could start pointing you towards these kind of games. If you like this kind of mechanic, even, I can start helping. And that's a lot of what that kind of comes off of, is I've got a small grip of games that I tend to go to. But okay.
Well, what about, since, you know, this weekend's Valentine's Day, what if a girlfriend comes in and says, I want to get my gamer boyfriend a game? Or vice versa, boyfriend comes in for girl gamer. What would you recommend?
Fog of Love. Because that game is, yeah, I was going to say that one can be super cutesy and very romantic if you're trying to play kind of a more serious version of it. It's kind of, it's about two souls falling in love, essentially.
Oh.
You can make, yeah, like you said, oh, you can make it very sweet. They do have some that can make them, like, sillier. I've seen a few of the sillier cards that they've had that are really fun. So you can have a really good time with it, making two people you would never expect to actually come together. But because of these niche pieces, your relationship technically works and you succeed and stuff like that. And it's really cool to kind of see that.
Oh, that sounds cute.
It can be super, super sweet, super lovey-dovey. And then you can have really weird relationships that you kind of are going to get a chuckle out of. Just being like, how did that even... You would never expect two people like that to do... Whatever, cool.
And they've got a ton of expansions for that one, too.
Yeah. And then I suggest Hive. Because it's one of the funnest two-player games that I know of. I'm also kind of a big player of, like, Tac and Chess, though. And Hive and Tac are both two-player games that are really fun. They have kind of that feel to it where you're going to be playing a little bit more strategic. With Hive, you're laying down tiles trying to surround the enemy queen and essentially absorb her into your hive.
Oh, cool.
And then Tac is a beautiful game that is made by James Ernst that is kind of like tic-tac-toe... mixed with checkers, mixed with chess. Play style is very tic-tac-toe style and checker style, but the strategic levels that you can go to are very basic tic-tac-toe, all the way up to crazy thought processes like chess. I've seen one of the other creators, Patrick Rothfuss, he created the philosophy and ideas behind it. James Ernst helped him create the rules and make an actual physical copy of it. But I've seen Patrick Rothfuss and his apprentice, who also had helped him do a lot of the testing and stuff for the game, they have crazy moves that I'm like, how did you plan to set that up from that angle 6 turns ago? They've also got some, their favorite thing is seeing people's creative moves and like what they call them. Like, I've developed one that I call the Wall of Tepi. which is from his book, and so he's a big fan of that. And so those are some really good, like, Valentine's Day,
yeah,
two-player, very, you know, very personal, hey, we get to spend some quality time together kind of games.
Very nice. Thank you. That's good to get some recommendations already.
Yeah.
I love it.
Get out there and find your loved one a good game this year. That's what I asked for my lady. I asked her to pick me up God Tier Champions. I've almost got a nice rounded collection of it. I've almost got two of everybody, so there's actually a nice little pool to pick from. But there's like 13 champions, and it's I'm working on making my way all the way through.
As long as they don't get to League with the 189 or I don't even know how many.
I don't think they'll go that high, but they have plans. I've seen their roadmap, and they have like 2 new champions releasing every quarter.
Kind of like League,
At least this year. And so, I mean, they might end up something like that. But that's the other, we were talking about that earlier. But the reason I highly suggest it to people is because it's not a factions-based. All the colors are actually classes. Mm. And that's what gives you that chance to mix and match. That's why I'm looking for an extra, like, I think I need another yellow and another blue. And that'll give me 2 of everybody so that everybody can kind of have one on their team or pick 2 of one to have on their team, depending on how your play style is.
Like, that's really cool. I didn't realize that they were different. Yeah. I thought it was faction-based. I thought it was, oh, you get to play these guys from this area or these guys from this area.
No, you can totally do themed ones. Like, I recently found a couple more goblin boxes that aren't red, and my favorite champion currently is Sneaky Pete, who is a really awesome...
I do not like a Sneaky Pete.
Yeah, he's a little goblin assassin who just runs around and tries to mess up champions as much as possible, which is...
Now he's going to be my personal
favorite. Pretty similar to how I play League when I played back in the day. I would play very reserved to begin with, and then I was like, oh, I have my, like, 2 items I need, and I'm going to go kill people now.
Now you're an assassin.
Yeah, now I'm going to go really mess with people's day. But, yeah, it's all class-based, so there is no, like, factions. You don't have to play as one. Like I said, I found a few goblin boxes, and I'm kind of looking to play a goblin team for a little bit just because I think it'd be fun and cute.
That would be hilarious.
But you can play, like, my current main team is Sneaky Pete, a character called Wrathmarid, who's this big, like, water dragon guy. I like a lot of his abilities and how they work with Sneaky Pete's. And then I'll kind of fill in my 3rd slot with whatever I think I need. I'm a big fan of Farvin right now because he's you get extra points for having like your banner on the field with them. And I've gotten a pretty decent flow of how to keep my banner on the field and how to kind of cut off connections to it without making it a big pain for my opponent to kind of come at them. So that's the other part I like about it. You can get very strategic in that how you take your objective hexes and how you... push back against your opponent.
I'm looking forward to an episode where we just talk about God tier for like 45 minutes. Like,
you're gonna have to.
Well, you know what? I'll commit to it. That'll be our 2nd episode. I'm that much in love with that game right now that like I have been trying to force myself to like play and like force somebody else to play with me. So
where are we gonna put these games after everybody gets to see them?
They're gonna be downstairs in our beautiful, beautiful store at Adventures
Underground. So you'll be able to find them on the website as well?
Yeah, of course you will.
Fantastic.
All you gotta do is check out any of the names we've given you today, and all of them should actually be in our system. And if we don't have any in stock, we can order them.
Sounds good.
That's what we do here.
That's what we do.
We get you what you want.
It's our thing. We make you spend your money.
We want all of it.
Don't think that they don't get mine.
Oh, they get all of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like legitimately going over my expenses and realized half my check is coming back.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah. That's how they get us.
I turned off the app on my bank, like the bank app that I have, because I had a thing where it would split my spending into categories for me to show me like how much I spent at certain things.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And eventually I was just like, nope, I don't care how much money I spend at AU. It's fine.
Yep. That's what my bank's doing right now, too.
Oh, I'm so thankful I don't have a banking app like that. Because God, that'd be awful.
My bank card's like, you guys need to turn this off when she goes to AU. Just done. Because,
Yeah.
It's real.
It's a problem. Yeah. I mean, it's a good problem.
Yeah, I know.
Because I have lots of things to entertain me, so.
It's true.
I was say, I'm never bored. I have so many one-player games now that I...
And books. Yeah. And just everything. You come here.
I have so many minis to paint.
Oh, God. Yeah.
If your minis are done.
I'm actually, for once, kind of caught up.
I have an entire set of Rising Sun minis to paint.
Oh, okay. If we're talking projects like that, then
no minis.
I just got Corey's Hellboy. So I'm in a pretty decent, similar situation.
Isn't Hellboy only red?
You just dunk it in the red paint. It's fine.
Yeah, but there's...
black stuff around too, like
what is it, 15? His guns. There's like 15 or 20 frog guys to paint.
Just dunk them all in the green.
They're green.
No.
No. And see, Drew never allows us to be in his podcast anymore.
I have my phone on mirror.
And see, this is after Drew was like, "You're so good at mini painting." I know, and I'm right? Like, just dunk it in the paint.
Just
it's
dunk
fine,
it in the
guys.
Paint. It's fine. That's what we need.
Yeah, but we do dumb stuff to our models all the time, and somehow it works out.
I know, it's true. There's so many times I'm like, well, I don't know if this technique will actually work, but I'm going to try it.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you know how many models I've bought to just test crap on? Like, I'm going to go buy Hellhounds today because they're very flat, more or less very basic, but I'm going to do weird things to them.
I can guarantee...
Phrasing?
Nope, still going to do weird things to them.
I can't tell you the amount of times that I've just taken a toothbrush to a mini and scrubbed all the paint off so I could start it over.
See, I leave all my failures so that they can blare in my face. At
Are they
I
in your
to
cabinet
them.
Of shame?
Yes.
The cabinet
yes.
of shame.
Yeah. We'll do a whole episode on the cabinet of shame. And how every gamer's got one.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Mine's actually an ottoman, so I can really hide it. Like, people, yeah, they don't know my secrets.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you come over now, you know, because you'll see the giant black ottoman and be like, ha, and open it up, and there's the shame.
So you're just telling your secrets to the world now.
Yeah, it's kind of what I do.
That's a good idea. Yeah. There's no middleman.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us this week for an episode of Game Cabinet. We will see you guys next week with our already decided game of choice, Pandemic.
Woohoo, I'm so excited.
Me too.
Have a good weekend, guys.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.